Lecture topic, considering the feelings of others.
It's an animal. It's not a human being. So now when it's an animal is obviously not on the level of human. But it is a creature that has life in it. It has life. It's not lifeless. Now, because it has life in it, so Shariat has emphasized that there are certain things that must be taken care of. For example, one animal must not be slaughtered in the presence of another. So therefore you would have noticed, whoever this was being taken care of, that there would be some kind of demarcation, some place that is cordoned off, it is curtained off in some way, that where the animal is being slaughtered, the other animals must not notice this, must not be able to see it. That's a very important aspect. Now, what is going to happen if the animal sees another animal being slaughtered? So, physically nothing, but that animal also has feelings. That animal also has feelings. And it's seeing another animal being slaughtered, so it gives this animal also very, it puts it into fear. It terrifies the animal that what is going on, I'm going to be slaughtered in this manner. So to protect the animal from those feelings which will cause it fear and make it get very, very uneasy. And this is avoidable, completely avoidable. So Shariat has emphasized, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has highlighted this, that do not slaughter one animal in the presence of another. Likewise, in the Hadith Sharif, it is highlighted that if anyone is going to be slaughtering an animal, فَلْيُحِدَّ شَفْرَتَهُ, he should sharpen his knife. Now, why must the knife be sharpened? A very sharp knife, if a person is using a very nicely sharpened knife, it's possible, like in the case of a sheep, in two or three strokes at the most, he would be able to slaughter that animal. So in other words, very quickly, in a matter of 2 seconds, it's done. Maybe even 1.5 seconds. If it's a very sharp knife and the person uses it correctly, he applies the correct pressure, in a second and a half, he might be done. So now, that is done in 1.5 seconds. And if the knife is not sharp, it's a blunt knife, he's going to start like slicing. And it'll take 5 seconds, might take 7 seconds. Now eventually after 7 seconds, he'll get slaughtered. But now that what could have been done in 2 seconds took 7 seconds. So the difference was 5 seconds. So 5 seconds of undue taklif. 5 seconds of avoidable discomfort. This is disliked by Shariat, that you put that animal through that extra 5 seconds of taklif. Now, think about this very carefully. This extra 5 seconds of taklif, which was avoidable, which was not, was undue taklif. This 5 seconds extra taklif, which was avoidable, this has been highlighted, that don't fall into that. Don't allow that to happen. Don't try to slaughter with a blunt knife, because you're going to add to this this 5 seconds of taklif. Now this is the teaching of our beautiful deen, that an animal is being slaughtered. The animal is not insan, it's an animal. It doesn't have the rights that human beings have. And Allah Ta'ala has made it permissible, and let alone made it permissible to slaughter an animal for eating purposes. When it comes to the occasion of qurbani, then those who have the necessary amount of wealth, it becomes even wajib on them. That wajib will not be fulfilled in any other way. Person, the animal, buying a qurbani animal is 2,500, for example. Person says, I'm going to give 5,000 in sadaqah. That 5,000, you can give 50,000 in sadaqah also, but that won't fulfill the wajib of qurbani. See, it is wajib to slaughter an animal on that occasion then, for that person. So Allah Ta'ala has not made it only permissible to slaughter animals for purposes of eating. On the occasion of Qurbani, it has become wajib. So now the point is, so the animal, Allah has made it permissible to slaughter, and in some instances, Qurbani, wajib, person goes for Hajj, and he performs Hajjat Tamattu' or Qiran. You will have probably heard about this. If you didn't, don't worry about it. But then it becomes necessary for him to slaughter an animal. So the thing is that this is Allah's command then. But at the same time, Shariat has commanded that don't give that animal any undue taklif. Now, as we discussed, this 5 seconds more because of the knife being a bit blunt. But this is makruh now. And this action has deprived one of the full sawab. That the full sawab now won't be attained. Why? Because this extra taklif was given. Now this is the point and this is the lesson, that Shariat has gone to this length to take care of the feelings of even an animal. Don't slaughter one animal in front of another. Why? The same feelings. Don't slaughter an animal thirsty. Give it something to drink before it. Meaning don't, now you, somebody says that, it's already now the morning and the food has run out. There's no water available right now. You're going to slaughter it in 3-4 hours time, 2-3 hours time. So it doesn't matter now. 2-3 hours, not going to make a difference. No. If that 2-3 hours, that animal now needs to have something to eat, its normal feed, whatever it will feed on, grass, etc., or water, to now keep it hungry and thirsty before slaughtering is also makruh. Like this, there's many other points in this Qurbani alone, many other points that we can note where the feelings of the animal has been considered, and this aspect of undue taklif, this has been very severely, strongly emphasized that it should never happen. Now, what is the lesson we need to draw from that? Qurbani was done. It's already many days now since Qurbani passed. What is the lesson that we must carry on with? Many lessons, but one of the lessons that we are talking about. If this is the extent that Shariat has regarded the importance of taking care of the feelings of even an animal, then what about insan? About being considerate of the feelings of other human beings. And then if that human is somebody close to us, number one, a Muslim, and then further, that human being might be our relative, even closer, that human being is our parent. It may be one of our siblings. It might be our grandparent, some uncle, some aunt. It might be our classmate. Might be some neighbor, whoever it might be. If even an animal must not be given undue taklif, what about insan? What about all these people around us? Now, how far away from this teaching of deen is the situation where sometimes people find pleasure. They get excited about it. They get joy out of it. Out of what? Out of giving taklif to others. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azim. They actually get enjoyment out of giving taklif to others. How? They'll mock somebody and enjoy it. Obviously, mocking someone is going to cause taklif to the person. It's going to disturb the person. It's going to make the person feel uncomfortable. And now somebody gets enjoyment out of that. This is, let alone the teachings of Islam, even basic humanity, being a human being. Just being a human being also requires that a person does not give undue taklif to anybody. But now being a Muslim, that level, that teaching goes on a very high level. And now some Muslim is finding enjoyment in hurting somebody else, in mocking somebody, causing taklif to someone. For example, now we took somebody's some item and used it without their permission. They're going to feel disturbed about it. We think nothing about it, that we disturb the person, so what? We speak in a way that is hurtful, that humiliates somebody, that brings some kind of embarrassment to someone. And worse than that is swear somebody, call somebody some names that they don't like. All these things are terrible. But why is it then done? Because something in the heart has become terrible. A terrible heart then brings onto the tongue these kind of terrible statements, these kind of terrible words, terrible names, giving people bad names, mocking them, calling them by names that they don't like. So this is the tongue saying something terrible, but the tongue is the spoon that dishes out what is in the heart. The tongue of itself is not anything. The tongue doesn't speak of its own accord. It speaks what's in the heart. The heart is the pot and the tongue is the spoon. Now, if you have a pot with some excellent food in it, some very nicely cooked food, so now the spoon, when you put it into that pot, that's what it's going to dish out. And if supposing that food now was lying there for 2, 3 days, 5 days, and it got rotten and smelly, and now somebody puts a spoon into the same pot, so what is going to dish out? You can't get that beautiful, fragrant food that was there 5 days before. Now you're going to get something rotten, terrible, the smell is going to be there. That's what it'll dish out. But the spoon is a spoon. The spoon didn't make that get bad. It's what was bad in the pot. So likewise, the tongue doesn't make something come through on its own. It's what's in the heart that the tongue is dishing out. Now some people make their hearts terrible. They put so much of evil in the heart, evil thoughts, evil about others, evil behavior. So now the heart has become like that. And now therefore the tongue now is dishing out the same thing. It's hurting this person, talking things that are embarrassing the other person, all these kind of things carrying on. So this is what we need to change. We need to learn this lesson from Qurbani, that we have been taught to have a heart even for an animal. We hear people saying, please have a heart now. Have a heart meaning show some mercy, show some compassion, have a heart, heart of forgiveness, have a heart that is now generous. So in other words, have a good heart. When people say have a heart, and when a person doesn't have a good heart, this is heartless. Person also got a heart. That heart is ticking still, that's why the person is alive. This is heartless, meaning that heart got no good qualities in it. No compassion, no mercy, no generosity. This is just a story on the side. One person was known to be a very cruel person. But he was very wealthy. Now somebody was desperately in need. He had a very serious operation and he couldn't afford it. Now that operation was for a child or somebody, he couldn't afford it. So any case, now out of desperation, he came to this person for some help. Please, if you could lend me the money and so I can get this operation done. The person flatly refused, no ways. I don't have any money to lend you. So now he's pleading with him and he's saying, just get out of here. So after this went on back and forth for a while, and eventually this cruel person said, look, one of my eyes is fake. One eye is not a real eye, it's fake. There was an accident or something, and then I lost that eye. But the doctors then, they put a fake eye just to make it look fine. But it was done so expertly that people can't make out which is which. They just cannot distinguish. It seems like both are normal eyes. If you guess which is the fake eye, you get it right. One guess only. I'll lend you the money. Now just to lend the money is putting the person through all this. He was so sure he won't get it right. So in any case, this person looked at him carefully. And then he said the left eye. So now it was right. He got the correct answer. So this person was shocked. Now how did you guess it right? Nobody can make it out. And if a person doesn't know, he'll never be able to make it out. How you manage to guess right that it is the left eye that is fake? So now, as I mentioned right at the beginning, there's just one story on the side. So this person, first he didn't want to say it, then he said, no, you must tell me how you got it right. So he said, well, I just saw in the left eye only, there was little bit mercy in the left eye. So I guess this must be the fake eye, because your normal eye got no mercy in it. So now the point is that this is unfortunately what happens when the heart becomes corrupted. The heart is devoid and empty of any goodness. Person got no compassion, no kindness, no mercy. That is not the heart of a Muslim. How a Muslim's heart is. Muslim's heart is not like that. A Muslim's heart, there is compassion, there is kindness, there is forgiveness, there is well-wishing for everybody. A Muslim's heart is not one that gets excited and enjoys seeing somebody else in pain. That is the opposite of a Muslim's heart. It doesn't mean that if a person is getting excited over somebody's pain, then got no iman left, he's not a mu'min. No, that's not the case. That's a major sin, but the iman is still there. Unless a person then goes, Allah forbid, and actually thinks this to be permissible, then that is very dangerous for iman. But nevertheless, otherwise the iman is there, but it's not the kind of heart that a Muslim has. So meaning is very far away from what the type of heart that the person should have. Now coming back to our lesson, the lesson of Qurbani, the lesson of how the animals were taken care of, we were taking care of the feelings of the animal. Feelings of the animal. What about the feelings of our parents? If we understood that this was important to take care of the feelings of the animals, what about the feelings of our parents? Obviously, if the parents are commanding, insisting on something that is impermissible, then we will not be able to do that. We can't do that. We cannot do what is wrong in the commands of Allah Ta'ala, what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. We cannot do that. That's wrong then. But we will not disrespect them in any way. We will not say anything. We will not do anything that offends them. We will just respectfully decline. This is not permissible. My ustad, my muallima, they explained to us that this is not permissible. Oh, I read it in certain kitab. So I can't do this. I cannot go to that place. I cannot behave in that manner. We'll respectfully mention it and then make sabr. But we will not say or do anything that will be disrespectful to them directly. And that is when there's something that was being instructed which is haram. Otherwise, there's no way that there's any permissibility to back answer them, to back chat them, to speak abruptly and rudely to them. That is completely out. And that breaks their hearts. Now we understood that how we should be taking care of even the feelings of animals. So what about the feelings of our parents? Our siblings, how we deal with them? Put ourselves in their shoes, and if we were dealt with in the same way how we deal with them, would we like it? So now think of their feelings also. If we have something and we're not, or somebody else has something and they don't want to share with us at all, we'll feel very offended, hurt. So think about the feelings of others. Let us be the good one and share. So there's so many things in day-to-day life. If we just change this entire manner of thinking and we become conscious about the feelings of others, obviously within the limits of Shariat, if somebody's feelings are going to be hurt because we don't want to do what is wrong, then they are responsible for their hurt, because they are wanting us to hurt the deen of Allah Ta'ala, which we can never do. Deen is not in need of us. We are in need of deen. Deen doesn't get harmed in any way. But this is just a way of expression that they want us to hurt deen. We can never do that. So in any case, when we have understood the importance of caring for the animals correctly, being conscious about their feelings, and not to do anything that will cause undue taklif, then we must apply this lesson even more to insan, and Musliman even more, and those who are close and near to us even more. Whether it's our parents, then our siblings, then our extended family, then our classmates, our friends, others, and especially our muallimas, our muallims, how much we should be considerate about their feelings, that we don't cause undue taklif. Otherwise, how are we going to gain knowledge? So these are all things that we should be conscious about, what we do, how we do it, how we speak to others, what kind of comments we make, are we belittling anybody, are we running down somebody, what are we doing? These are all the things we have to take note about. We don't say things that are going to cause problems and difficulties for others. So this is the very important lesson and message of being conscious and careful about the feelings of others. This aspect about the feelings of others, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala gives us an example that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was now marching with his army, so now he's marching with the army and the ants, they detected that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is coming along. So one ant was concerned about its fellow ants. So Allah Ta'ala preserved this in the Quran Sharif for us. قَالَتْ نَمْلَةُ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ دْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ لَا يَحْتِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُهُ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ So one ant now, it started warning the others that, oh, my fellow ants, all please go away into your homes, your ant holes, because Sulaiman salatu wasalam is going to be marching with this huge army. They won't even know, they will crush you underfoot, they won't even realize it. So therefore, don't stick around here now, move away, so that you get saved. Allah Ta'ala loved this, that this ant is concerned about its fellow ants. Allah Ta'ala preserved this statement and this warning of the ant and of this well-wishing. Allah Ta'ala preserved it in the Quran Sharif for us to take a lesson. That look, this small little creature, this ant, but it has this compassion for its fellow creatures, for the fellow ants. So Allah Ta'ala loved this so much, Allah made it an example in the Quran Sharif for insan. So now we also take care of our fellow people. We help others around us. We take care of them. We speak to them correctly. We be their well-wishers. Then we also will become beloved to Allah Ta'ala. Obviously, the whole of deen is part of what we are required to do. But all this enhances our deen greatly and brings us closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we become conscious about this, that we do not cause undue taklif to anybody. This is a very important aspect. In deen, there's so many aspects in this. A person is reciting Quran Sharif. Now subhanallah, what a great ibadat. Making tilawat of the Quran Sharif. There's so many rewards on every letter. 10 rewards minimum. Now the person is reciting Quran Sharif, but is reciting it, for example, at night. Somebody is now sleeping, and the other person in the same room now is reciting Quran Sharif aloud. How loudly? That now the sleeping person's sleep is getting disturbed. Instead of sawab, he is now incurring sin. Such a great ibadat, tilawat. But because he's going about it at a time when now others need to sleep and they are resting, and he's causing a disturbance in their sleep. So now, such a great ibadat, but because it was done without taking care of the right of others, not concerned about their feelings, the sawab was lost, and actually now the person is incurring sin because of the taklif to somebody else. So can we imagine when this is the case with regards to ibadat, tilawat of the Quran Sharif, what about just talking idle talk loudly and disturbing people's sleep or making noise of some other sort, whatever noise it might be, how harmful this would be to us. So we need to become conscious about all this. We need to bring it into our lives, be practical, learn how to conduct ourselves correctly, bring in the beautiful akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what's going to help us even now and on the day of Qiyamah. This is what's going to make us good Muslims. Together with all the other aspects of deen, the necessary aspects of deen must all be part and parcel of our life. But this is what's going to enhance us tremendously and save us from a lot of difficulty in dunya and in akhirat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم ارحم إخواننا في فلسطين وفي جميع العالم يا رب العالمين اللهم ارحمهم اللهم كن لهم معينا ونصيرا اللهم كن لهم معينا ونصيرا اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم شتت شمل عدوهم اللهم شتت شملهم اللهم مزق جمعهم اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله.